Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike DeTeo along with Charlie Long in studio. And we'll have Steve Geller join us at 540 for our triple option feature. I want to tell everybody today is Tulane Tuesday, so we'll have the head football coach of the Green Wave, John Summerall, will join us at 420. At 520, Mark Schlereff always does a great job. He's one of our top guests that we have on each and every week from Odyssey. Does a great job covering the National Football League. At 625, be Jake Madison, NBA writer, covers the Pelicans. And you got a little choice here at 630. It'll be Pelicans Weekly. That'll be on the Big 870 WWL. And at 7 o'clock, it'll be the pregame show of the Pels versus the Dallas Mavericks. And at 7:30, it'll be tip-off. If you want to hear the Saints Hour, that starts at 7 with Mike Haas. I think his guests tonight are Jeff Ireland, Mike Baugh, part of the scouting department, will be there. Also, Jay Cicero will join Mike for the Saints Hour. And you can listen to the Saints Hour at 105.3 FM and hear the Saints Hour with Mike Haas. And again, Jeff Ireland, Mike Baugh, part of the scouting department there, along with Jay Cicero, is doing a fantastic job leading up to the Super Bowl, which is coming in February to New Orleans. And I've done so many shows across the country, and everybody's, man, I can't wait to get down to New Orleans to go watch the Super Bowl. So great stuff there, what Jay's doing and working with so many people behind the scenes to get this done. It's a huge connect the dots all across the board when you're trying to get that settled up. Charlie, you brought it up, and we got the first firing, GM Joe Douglas today. Woody Johnson, he's got all his eggs in the Aaron Rodgers basket, and Robert Saleh takes the guillotine first, now Joe Douglas. And, it's a major rebuild for that team. Now, Aaron has said he wants to come back next year. Let's see if that happens. But it's going to be a whole new crew running the Jets in 2025.
Well, you don't want to go out the way the Jets are going out right now. I mean, this, you know, Aaron Rodgers does not want his last year to be on a team that's already 3-8 and not trending in the right direction, Mike. Now, ESPN's Rich Shimini came out and said he'd be quote-unquote shocked if Jets owner Woody Johnson brings Aaron Rodgers back in 2025. I also think, obviously, Rodgers has plenty to do with this himself. You know, when he got brought in, he instantly surpassed Robert Saleh, and I even think Joe Douglas is the most powerful guy in the org outside of Woody Johnson.
Other than
so, you know, it was a mess from the get-go. As far as Joe Douglas goes, he had been there since 2019, and you know, I've listened to Jets reporters that follow the team obviously closer than I do talk about his tenure there, and there were some mistakes made, multiple mistakes, Mike.
Okay. So, Mekhi Becton was one.
Mekhi Becton was a huge one, but he also had a couple opportunities to build around. At first, Sam Darnold, and then when that didn't work out, he had an opportunity to try and get his own young quarterback in Zach Wilson. That didn't work out.
That was a disaster.
And then he gets his chance to build around, you know, Aaron Rodgers, the veteran quarterback, and that hasn't worked out. So, you know, it's been a tumultuous tenure for GM Joe Douglas in New York, and I think that, you know, at this point, Woody Johnson is, and we've talked about this off air, Mike, about how
he ain't, you know, a good owner.
He's not. He's not a good owner at all. But he's kind of going scorched earth. And now they're looking at another extended rebuild for this New York Jets team.
He also was under the first term of President Trump. He was the ambassador to England. So you wonder if Woody will turn over the reins again like he did when he got that that particular position. Old friend of ours from the show, he did it many times when he was running the Senior Bowl. Phil Savage is now the new interim general manager of the New York Jets. So Phil's been on with us so many times in the past when he was running the Senior Bowl. Jim Nagy does an unbelievable job today. But Phil had it also. He was involved with it, and he did a great job of running the Senior Bowl. So now Phil, it's just being an interim basis. I'm sure the GM will work with ownership to hire a new head coach.
And that's another thing that I've heard from Jets reporters is that they really want someone hired as like the president of football operations. We all know like how there's, for instance, like the David Griffin, the president of basketball operations for the Pelicans, right? They want someone that's in the know to be hired in that position. So it's not just Woody Johnson being like, oh, this is my guy. Like, I want to hire this GM or I want to hire this head coach. They want more of a football mind to be able to make those kind of picks to get the Jets out of this rut, because Woody Johnson has been, let's just call it what it is, Mike,
an abject failure. Man, I even heard Bill Belichick make the comment that he was the worst owner in the National Football League. And, you know, Bill was there, what, 24 hours as the head coach of the Jets? And he got out of there as fast as he could. He didn't like the situation, and he broke out. It's just been a revolving door. You thought maybe Rodgers could maybe do good for this franchise, but he looks like an old man today, old man quarterback.
It's really interesting, Mike, because with where the Jets currently are, I believe they're at number 7 in this upcoming draft at this point with that 3-8 record that they've got. Are they looking at quarterback in the first round of 2025?
If I would.
But here's the thing. It's like, this is also kind of a fascinating story. They have Tyrod Taylor under the books as well. And Tyrod, look, at this point in his career, he's a veteran. I think he's getting up there in age, in the 30s. He's a backup. But at the same time, we've talked about this, Mike, as well, with this quarterback class. It's not exactly last year's class with Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and Drake May and all these guys that have come in and start week one. Same thing with like Bo Nix, but also Michael Penix, all the talent from this last year's quarterback class. That's not this year's quarterback class. You're probably looking at guys that you can pick in the first round and maybe sit. And Tyrod Taylor feels almost kind of like the Jacoby Brissett, what you saw in New England,
where he can start,
you know, early on, and you don't have to throw a rookie quarterback into the fire with this Jets franchise next year. So I think that it could be interesting to see if they take a guy and kind of let him sit and develop.
Charlie, let's go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line. I think we got the bottom man dropped. Okay. Tonight, Pelicans, Mavericks. The Mavs are 500 basketball team right now. I think 7-7. Is Luka going to play tonight?
He's questionable, Mike. He didn't play on, I believe it was Sunday, against the OKC Thunder, a game that Dallas actually won without Luka, which is impressive. But if he does play, I mean, we'll talk more with Jake Madison about this. You're looking at the best backcourt in the NBA with him and Kyrie Irving.
Oh,
so,
no question.
You know, it's going to be an interesting matchup. It's kind of, you know, this is the Mavericks squad that had represented the West in the finals last year, and they're kind of off to a mediocre start this season, 7-7. Now, the Pelicans, who have just been destroyed by injuries, you're just kind of hoping they can pick up a win here and start treading some water.
Yeah, because that win, you know, Friday, that was the shocker of shockers, that they were able to win that game. But then they came back down to earth playing the Lakers. And, you know, which you got a lot of B-League guys, backups playing. You can't expect too much.
Right.
Hopefully they can get healthy, and hopefully pretty soon. When we come back, we'll have on with us the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, John Sumrall, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettea along with Charlie Long. We're going to go to our Oakland Hard Jewelers talk and text line, and it'll be the head football coach of Tulane Green Wave, John Sumrall. Tulane Tuesday is brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. And if you're looking for an agent, I'm available right now. I can maybe do you a new deal, get you a few more dollars. What about that?
Hey, man, you can keep the dollars. I don't need any. I need them for my players, cuz. Like, hey, you know, I tell everybody listens to me, you know, coaches lose games, players win them. And I've told everybody else that will listen to this, like, facilities don't win you a game. Players do. You
That's
know,
correct.
Buildings are great, but if you got the nicest buildings in the world and the worst players in the world, you can't win very many games. We can practice in a parking lot with the best players in the country and win a lot of games. Right? And so, I tell you what, if you want to be my agent, just give my players more money. That's all.
Okay, let me see if I can handle that once I knock off a sports talk coach. I'll take care of that for you.
Yeah, you're hired if you get that done.
Yeah, I got you, brother. I did pregame for LSU, and before, you know, you guys started and we were doing pregame, they had a couple of former LSU players that were watching the Tulane game as we were doing it. And they walked up to me when it was halftime, was like, man, I am so impressed with the focus on detail that Coach Sumrall has with Tulane on both sides of the football. And they just raved about, man, that's coaching, to be able to get to young players and have them understand that, okay, you late in the season, all these games are a snapshot in time, okay? You take the picture of the Navy game. You take a picture of the Memphis game. You're going to take a picture when you're going to be in the American Football Championship game against Army. And they all brought that up about how well you've got this team focused for the individual task at hand.
Yeah, you're dead on. Each game, it's a season on itself. And, you know, we have a tremendous coaching staff. You know, I tell you all the time, I get a lot of credit when things go well, and I get blame when they don't, and that's fair. I got broad shoulders. Yeah. I can take all the blame in the world. I'm fine. I'm a big boy, you know what I mean? But here's the deal. I think my staff here is phenomenal. You know, and what's really cool about this coaching staff that, you know, some people are aware of and some people aren't, is it's several guys. There's seven full-time coaches that were here on the staff last year that stayed. You know, Greg McMahon, Dan Roschar, Tyler Spots Orgeron, Colin D'Angelo, Rob Green, J.J. McCleskey. I mean, there's several guys that didn't leave. And then there's about 10 coaches or analysts that came with me from Troy. And so you've got, you know, a staff that's a blended staff. But, man, I'm in awe of watching those guys coach every day, because as soon as I feel like I'm going to go coach something or fix something – half the time they beat me to it, if not greater. And our staff is very detailed. They're very thorough. They're great teachers. You know, at the end of the day, really being a coach, you're just teaching the game. You're a teacher. And sometimes that's educating. Sometimes that's motivating, inspiring, whatever. But you have to capture the hearts and minds of your players to help them become their best. And our assistant coaches here are off the charts good and do a phenomenal job of preparing our guys each and every week to be focused on the task at hand.
Coach, I said this last night, I'll repeat it. They have one of the blogs, Wave After Wave blog, and they wrote the average margin of victory for Tulane over the last three games is more than 37 points. And your defense has only allowed 9 points since October 26th. Man, as a defensive guy, that's got to make you happy. That, man, you can do a lot of things offensively when they're not scoring points.
Yeah, well, if they don't score, they don't win, right?
Yeah, right.
And, you know, I've never seen a team win scoring no points in a football game. About the most pissed off I've been the last month is when we gave up a touchdown at Temple late in the fourth quarter. We were up 52-0. We gave a touchdown up, and I was about to lose my mind because it was just a bad football play the way we gave it up. And, you know, our defense has really improved throughout the year. The first few games, you know, there was five defensive starters on last year's team here that transferred out during the coaching turnover. And then we had seven defensive starters in game one against Southeastern Louisiana that weren't on this football team when I took the job. Five of those seven got here in May. Okay, and so the first few weeks of the year, man, they were trying to learn what to do, and they're trying to learn who each other were. They're trying to learn everybody's names. And we looked like the Bad News Bears for a couple games there. You know, I mean, we gave up 30 points or more three of our first four games. Well, I ain't been a part of doing that very often in my whole career. And so for a while there, it was bumpy trying to get this thing going. But now these guys are really playing good football together. They're playing hard for each other. They're really preparing in a manner that's special. It's fun to watch. Like, our practices are, and they're crisp, they're sharp. Our kids, they talk, they communicate at a high level. They have great energy. They work extremely hard. They encourage each other. They support each other. And, man, they are very, very, very coachable. And, you know, it's unbelievable the buy-in that the guys here have had. It's been fun to see. And it's a credit to our players for finding a way to, you know, take ownership of this thing. And I tell them each and every day, good teams can be coach-led. Great teams have to be player-led. And I think we've really developed unbelievable player leadership over the last several weeks.
Coach, I want to look back at this Navy game, and specifically the first drive of the third quarter. You enter halftime with a 14-0 lead. I mean, you're talking about great defense, but also ball control. And when you're playing a team like Navy, and we talked about how they're tough to prepare for, but when you just run that clock, and that's exactly what the Green Wave did in that first drive of the third quarter. I want to take you back to it because you also talked on the sideline with whatever TV reporter it was. I don't exactly remember. But the Chaz Preston 27-yard gain on 3rd-and-8 at midfield, that was a big play, as you kind of mentioned. But also, I mean, there were only two passing plays in this entire drive. A 13-play, 65-yard touchdown drive that took 8 minutes and 45 seconds off the clock. And that was after you had a 14-0 lead. That's just demoralizing to a team. When you go up and you convert a fourth down on that drive as well, you go down the field, you take all that time off the clock, and now it's 21-0. And at that point, you got the game basically in hand, Coach. So I want to get your thoughts on that specific drive where it just felt like the Green Wave took complete control of the game and said, yeah, we're not going to lose any kind of control that we've got from the first half and the start of the third quarter.
Yeah, that was a dominant drive. That was definitely a statement drive. You know, you talk a lot about the middle eight of the game, which is the last 4 minutes of the first half and the first 4 minutes of the second half. Well, that first 8 minutes of the second half, because that's what that drive ended up being. I said to the sideline reporter at the time, I said it was 8 minutes and 44 seconds. I was actually off a second. It was 8:45. But it really takes the air out of the game for the other team a little bit. You're already up 14-0, and then you go down and score a touchdown on a, you know, I think it's 13 plays. 65 yards, I believe,
yes, sir,
if I'm not mistaken, and 8:45 off the clock to go up 21-0. And then our defense goes out and gets like a 3 or 4 play drive and out from the opponent. And that really just starts to kind of, you know, you take the game over. You dominate the game. You finish the game the right way. You any hope that was there, you kind of take it away from them. And so that was a really impressive drive and a fun drive to watch if you were a Tulane person, because that was really the point where it's like, all right, we ain't giving you a shot to get back in this one.
One of the things, Coach, Sam Howard, I'd like for you to talk about him. He's the AAC Defensive Player of the Week, and to come up with two big turnovers for you. And, man, that's huge when you can get that from a team like Navy, and you understand they wanted to try to do what you did at the beginning of the third quarter. They wanted that 8-minute drive, but to have a guy come up with two big turnovers like Sam did, he's really been just a tremendous football player for you.
Yeah, well, you know, he was one of those seven brand-new starters in game one. Sam's an incredible young man. He's got a great story. He's from Birmingham, Alabama. He was a walk-on at Austin Peay, right, in Clarksville, Tennessee, at FCS school. And he ended up earning a scholarship there, became a starter, led the team in tackles, a two-time team captain. We transfers here in late May. He gets here Memorial Day. It's his first day in a team meeting with us. And, man, he is an unbelievable worker. He's a fantastic leader. You know, you mentioned his on-field performance. He leads the country in fumble recoveries right now. He's always around the football. But I'll tell you what's really cool. So our defensive players of the game for our team were Sam Howard and Tyler Grubbs. Well, Sam gets the player of the week for the conference on defense. But we also, each week, we give out a service award for somebody who does either community service or something around the building that's selfless. And I tell you, Sam Howard and it was Tyler Grubbs, too, the two guys that got our players of the game. We land in Baltimore on Friday, and we're on the bus, and I'm waiting for us to go to the hotel, and we're having to wait a couple extra minutes, and I asked them, I'm like, what are we waiting on? And they're like, well, we're waiting on Sam Howard and Tyler Grubbs. I'm like, well, where are they? Well, they're on the airplane picking up all the bottles, if anybody left any bottles in their seats that were, so the flight attendants didn't have to do so.
Whoa.
And I'm like, you got to freaking be kidding me. I'm like, these guys, like, man, like, so I talk a lot to our guys about better people make better players. Just put a picture of Sam Howard right there, because that's who that dude is. He is a freaking stud, and he makes me better. I mean, I'm like, he's the kind of guy, you know, people have heard me say this, if you're juiceless, you're useless. Sam Howard has got it all the time. I mean, he's an incredible young man who has made our team better, and he's been here for a whopping 6 months. You know, I mean, he got here May 28th, I think. And so he's been here less than 6 months, and the impact he's had on our team, not just on the field, but off of it, man, you can't even begin to scratch the surface of what he's doing for our team.
And then, Coach, looking at the guy that we talk about, it seems, every single week with you. But I want to get your thoughts. Mekhi Hughes now named a semifinalist for the Doak Walker Award, which is awesome. I mean, he's getting his recognition. I remember entering the year, we talked with Gary Smith about this because he had put out an article where he interviewed Mekhi. And after an awesome, you know, year last year, he came into his redshirt sophomore year saying, I want to break 1,500 rushing yards. I mean, last year, I think he was like around 1,300. So it would have been a little bit of a jump, but it's still a jump. And right now, 1,291 rushing yards, 15 rushing touchdowns. I mean, that ranks fifth nationally in rushing yards this season and then 10th nationally in rushing touchdowns this year. He's just been awesome for you. And we keep mentioning every single week he added another two against Navy. But when you talk about, you know, being able to run the football and control the clock while you're playing great defense, you have to have a good running back to do that. And Mekhi has been, once again, a complete dog for this team.
Yeah, he's a workhorse, man. I tell you, you know, a quarterback's best friend is a great O-line and a great running back, you know. And so Darian obviously is playing, you know, really good football, but it makes his job a lot easier when you can turn around and hand the ball off to a guy like Mekhi, who, you know, he has days that are average where he goes for 130 yards or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's unbelievable. He didn't have his biggest output last week. Duda had a big game, and Darian was effective on the ground with his feet, which was fun to watch. But, man, Mekhi brings it every day. He's so steady, so consistent. He's a battering ram. You know, he's just one of those guys that he's a hard tackle. He runs behind his pads. And him being named to that Doak Walker list was long overdue, because if he ain't one of the top five or six running backs right now in college football with what he's doing, I'd like to see who the other guys are.
I'm with you, Coach.
And so Charlie's trying to be Mekhi Hughes' agent.
Yeah, how about that, huh?
Because he acts every week. So I got to get that for Charlie. He's trying to make a few extra bucks away from the station.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, yeah, y'all feel free to turn the rest of your show into a fundraising hotline for NIL for Tulane football. All right. I mean, I'll come over there and dance if you need me to. Like, what do we got to do to take care of these players? Like, it's all about the – you know, I mean this. I say it all the time. If there weren't any players, you know what they don't need? Coaches. Like, it ain't about me. It's about our players. And, man, those guys are making this thing happen for us.
First thing, if people ask me about Memphis, what's the first thing that pops in your mind? I say speed. Okay, speed never had a bad day in its life.
They got some athletes, Coach.
Never had a bad day, speed. Yeah. Never.
You ain't lying. These guys are talented. I mean, they're 9-2. They are athletic everywhere on the field. I mean, everywhere. This is the most talented team athletically for sure in our conference we played, and maybe all year. So I'm including Oklahoma and Kansas State. Like, these guys are, man, you turn the tape on and I'm like, golly, like, what are we doing? And so these guys can run. They're talented. They're fast. They're gifted athletes. It's a real challenge. It's going to be a really challenging game. Our guys got to, you know, be dialed in and ready to go, because this group is a gifted group. They've been to this program at Memphis. They've been to 11 straight bowl games.
Yep.
All right. And so it's a program that has been well established through multiple coaches. You know, you go back to Fuente and then Mike Norvell and now Ryan Silverfield, who is doing a really nice job there. I think Ryan's a phenomenal football coach. This program is legit, and they got transfers from all over the SEC. They look like a daggum SEC team, to be quite honest with you.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Listen, as soon as I get off with you, I'm going to call my accountant, see if maybe I can sell a few stock of Bitcoin and see if I can help you out. How about
there
that?
There you go.
Hey, whenever y'all ready to start the fundraising hotline, let me know. I'm in.
Thanks, Thank Coach. You, Coach. I appreciate it.
All right, see y'all. Have a great day.
All righty. That was Coach John Sumrall, Tulane head football coach. And Tulane Tuesday is brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com. We'll be coming back and have more of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long. I want to tell everybody on the Bayou, sports fans, I'll be at Thibodaux Regional Health System Wellness Center tomorrow from 4 to 6. Come on by and talk to myself. Luke will be there, too, taking care of me. We'll talk sports and also countdown to the Riverbell Classic, the clash of Southland Conference teams as Nicholls State plays Southeastern Louisiana Lions, and they'll be Thursday at John L. Guidry Stadium. So come on by, say hello, hang out for a while. And that'll be tomorrow from 4 to 6 at Thibodaux Regional Health Systems Wellness Center on North Acadia Road. And Charlie, man, it's been a disappointing season for the Colonels. It was a tough start for Southeastern, but Frank Selfo got them, and, man, they are rolling. And Coach Selfo will be on with me tomorrow at 5:10. Jonathan Terrell, the athletic director of Nicholls State, JT, from the North Shore, he'll be on with me at 4:35, along with Greg Stock, the CEO of Thibodaux Regional Health System. But, man, Southeastern got it cooking now. And Frank has got that team rolling. They're playing with a lot of confidence on offense and playing some real good defense also.
Yeah, a couple things here, Mike. Coach Selfo's got them rolling. As you mentioned, they're 5-1 in Southland Conference play. I mean, Nicholls, as you mentioned, kind of has been struggling a little bit, 2-4 in Southland play. Our old pal Jeff Plarimo is calling this game on ESPN+.
Sure,
so that's pretty fun. 35th edition of the Riverbell Classic. And you know what the series is, Mike? 17-17. So, I mean, that's just awesome, right? Like, Bobby always talks about the Saints-Falcons rivalry.
Saints-Falcons, it is exactly scenario.
It's a complete split. So, it's like the same thing, the Riverbell Classic, Nicholls and Southeastern right down the middle, 17-17. So, who's going to kind of take control? Nicholls tied it up last year by beating Southeastern 21-16. So, but at this point, I think Southeastern is the favorite in this matchup based off of how they've been playing in the last, basically, month and a half. But Nicholls and Coach Rebo, I mean, you said it when we were talking with Coach on Monday, this is their bowl game.
This is it.
This is their, you know, their final game of the season. This is their chance to end their season on a high note. They're going to get Coach Rebo and the Colonel's best shot. So it should be a real fun one.
This was years back, and, man, God bless her. She's passed away, Carly McCord. We were on the sidelines together. Carly was doing Southland Conference. She was the sideline reporter. It was in the 30s. It was cold that night. and Carly was frozen, but more her feet were frozen more than anything. I had two pairs of socks on. So she was like, Mike, you got two pairs of socks? I said, yeah. So I took my shoes off. I gave her a pair of socks. Carly couldn't give it back to me now, but I'm still waiting for him, so to speak. She was so cold on that sidelines. Nichols had a huge win that night, and Coach Selfway told me, Mike, come see me after the game. So after the blowout and, you know, Nichols wins the Southland Conference title and everything, he just looked at me, Charlie, and gave me a salute, and he walked off the field. He understood that was a big win for Coach Rebo. And I took a picture. Carly's in the middle of it. They actually did a painting of it. It's at the in the Colonel room, and she's in it. And, man, she was so thrilled because she thought I was lying to her when I told her. No, they took my picture. Uh-huh. They asked if they could use it. I said, yeah. And they painted a mural of it.
Nice.
And so, man, she was thrilled to death with that. And we miss her each and every day. And her mom, Karen, has wrote a book about Carly. It'll be coming out in December. And as soon as it's out, we'll have Karen on with us to talk about Carly and her love of sports. And she's one of the sweetest gals in the world, a close friend of mine. And I do miss her each and every day. She made me laugh. She cussed at me a lot, but she made me laugh each and every day. We'll be back to finish up our number one of Sports Talk right after this break. Finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. Want to tell everybody at 520, we'll have one with us. He's one of our favorite guests, Mark Slareff, covering the National Football Week. So we'll talk Saints. And certainly Sean Payton did the Saints a good smooth over this weekend, beating the Atlanta Falcons. We'll have Mark along with a lot more here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.